reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verse 6 through 9, and can be found in your pew Bibles on page 746. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, and can be found on page 1230 in the Pew Bible. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. Reading from Mark chapter 15. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in a linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
What does this mean? Our Lutheran heritage's favorite question. And sometimes I think we as Christians think only of this as a day telling us about our future, and not as a day telling us about what already has begun in our life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ certainly is our hope. He has conquered death. When we see our frail bodies wasting away, when we see that what this world does to us as time wears on or as unfortunate events in our life take their toll, it is a miracle of miracles that we can look forward to a full and even better restoration of who we are, not just intellectually, not just spiritually, but in the flesh. We will be raised with Christ because He is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
But that life doesn't begin just then. He gives gifts to us now. And reading from John chapter 10, where he talks about himself as the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep, he says this: "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And that he's just not talking about tomorrow in the very next chapter of the Gospel of John, when Martha comes out to him when her brother had died. Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Meaning, as he would prove later in the resurrection of Lazarus and in his own resurrection, that the life that Jesus gives to us is the life that he gives us now. No, we don't see it in the fullness of glory until after this earthly sinful flesh is stripped away from us. And we shine in the glory of the new creation that God gives to us. But nonetheless, the life He gives is a life that begins now. Unfortunately, we often don't look at what God gives us now that we might have life. We often focus on the things that we don't have, that have nothing to do with whether or not we have life and have it abundantly. I think no better way is this illustrated that in the many times I have gone to the hospital and somebody's experiencing some kind of trauma or difficulty, and I'll bet you can fill in the blank when I say the first part of this. You know, Pastor, you know, I think I'm having it bad. But then I look around me and I see everything else that's happening to people. And when I see some of those other things that are going on in people's lives, I realize I've got a lot to be thankful for. How is it that we discover what to be thankful for by looking at what other people are going through? How is it that somebody else's loss makes us feel better? Doesn't that seem strange to you? Could you be happy if you were born blind and deaf? And you couldn't see other people's losses and you couldn't hear them. How many of you know of at least one person born blind and deaf? Right? Come on. Come on, more hands should be up. If I say the name, you'll all recognize it. How many of you have ever heard of Helen Keller? If you haven't heard about her, please go read her life story. Did she have a good life? Yes, she did. Was it an easy life? No. She had difficulties that most of us, all of us probably, would have a hard time dealing with. And yet, she discovered that what she had was more important and more meaningful than what she didn't have. And she found an abundant life despite all the difficulties that she had in her life almost from birth. Of course, there's other difficulties that we experience than just physical difficulties. If your brothers had sold you as a slave, if somebody falsely accused you of committing a crime and threw you into jail, if even the people you met in jail that could help you forgot about you, could you have a good life? Let me test you again. How many of you know somebody like that? You better read your Bibles more often, folks. Describing the life of Joseph in Scripture, Now, he didn't have physical difficulties, but boy, he had some relationship problems, I would say. Everybody in his life was turning against him. But one of the interesting things about the life of Joseph is that no matter where he found himself, no matter who had betrayed him, no matter who had turned on him, he didn't focus on what he didn't have, he focused on what he had. Whatever situation he found himself in, he became the best at doing with what he had and what he was. And of course, or at least I hope most of you remember how his life ended up. Being in second in charge to Pharaoh and having the opportunity to save his family. I could go on with a number of illustrations. But what you see in these examples, some physical, some relational, is that people can find a great life in what the world would describe as the most dismal of circumstances. And they don't find it by looking at what they don't got. They don't find it by scanning around saying, yeah, I've got this now. Is there, there's somebody who's got it even worse than me. Oh, there's someone back over there. Thank you for being worse for me than me. Now my life can be happy. Jesus gives us all that we need now to start living that abundant life. Gives us forgiveness of sin. Which means each and every day that you get up, you're not dragging the weight of your past with you. He has taken upon himself that burden so that you can start living your life anew, each and every day. He surrounds us with people to serve. Not with the things that we don't have, but with the things that we do have. I remember a number of years ago visiting one of my members in a former congregation up in the hospital, a widow, well advanced in years, suffering from cancer, which ultimately took her life. As she was up in the hospital room, she was describing her relationship with one of the nurses that cared for her. Beside her bed was a Portals of Prayer. And with a little bit of a smile, she said, you know, I'm being a little sneaky. I can read these, but I don't. And I tell my nurse that I need someone to read them for me. And she does. And you know, I think I'm making a difference. 80 plus years dying of cancer flat on your back. Can you live life and live it abundantly? Yeah, you can. Not by focusing on the things that you don't have. Not by looking around and saying, can I find somebody worse off than me? But by grasping that which God has already given you. Your faith, your hope, your forgiveness, whatever strength you have, whatever abilities you have, even though they may be diminished from what they used to be. All the things that we have can be used to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is when we are living that life of caring and giving that we're living the life He died to give us. That, you see, is the abundant life. Not the life focused on ourselves. Not focused on the things that we don't have. But a life focused on others. Focused on the things that God has given us. And we don't just start living that life when we die and go to heaven. We live it now. Yeah, more gloriously in heaven. Jesus came that we might have life and start living it now and have it abundantly. How can we be certain of these things? How do we know that this is true? That this is really the way that life is? Ultimately, we see it in Christ Himself, who lived that life of perfect love, laying down His life for others, but raised gloriously on Easter morning, that all who look to Him, all who sees that life that He has given us, all who place their faith and hope in Him and in Him alone, might have life and have it abundantly. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.